broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, you have to remember that Bin Laden is probably hunkered down someplace.
Whilst
like
the big conference at Copenhagen was underway last month.
Well, clearly a lot of people who maybe even agree with the intent of it.
My dear friend and colleague, the talented, funny, and beautiful Betty White.
I hate Barack Obama.
He's huge.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Coming up next hour, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on what was a rather compelling story here in Southern California on Friday, but has gained a little bit of steam nationally, and that was the rescue of a dog from a flood control channel here in L.A. This dog was rescued. It was lifted out of the raging waters of this flood control channel. As people here in Southern California watched on television, I think it was covered and carried across the country. This poor dog, he looked like just a mutt, but the firemen all stopped, and the policemen all stopped, and the, you know, you name it, man, the emergency, the whole world stopped, and the whole world was looking at this dog as this firefighter eventually lowered himself down, scooped the dog out of the water, and off they went. Over the weekend, there's been some discussion of this, and we'll have Jay Santos on to talk with us. He is with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Nazis adopt a highway in Colorado. Okay, and new details emerge in the Tiger Woods crash, and a study says many children hear voices. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Many children hear voices, huh? Yeah, well, you know what? I was a children, and I didn't hear any voices. I mean, I had a lot of I didn't even have imaginary friends. I had a lot of imaginary desires, wants, and needs. And I'm not even going to get into it, bud.
Yeah, you told me about one of them.
Well, no, I did not. I was when I'm talking about being a little tiny kid.
Yeah, you said.
No, I didn't say anything. When I was a little kid, I didn't hear voices. I didn't have imaginary friends, but I had an agenda. Now.
Yeah, see, that's exactly what I'm saying. What do you mean an agenda?
I don't want to get into it. I knew I was destined to rule the world. Now,
are you kidding me or something?
Yes, I'm kidding. But I didn't hear voices. All right. It's a small sign igniting a big debate. An official state of Colorado Adopt a Highway placard announcing that a one-mile-long stretch of U.S. Highway 85 is sponsored not by the Boy Scouts or the Lions Club, but by the Nazi Party of Colorado. Now, that's what the news story here says from KDVR, the Nazi Party of Colorado. However, the members call themselves the National Socialist Movement. Why do they call themselves that? I'll explain. They are inspired by the teachings of Hitler. They believe interracial relationships and homosexuality should be crimes, and they want to start a separate all-white country. So they're just full of that kind of vim, vigor, and humor that we know Nazis to have. The Adopt a Highway program, they say, is a good PR move for them and a recruiting tool. We want to let them know that we're here and we do good things, unit leader Neil Land told Fox 31. By the way, Neil is a quarter Jewish. Now, I don't know whether he is or not, maybe. How do you check those guys out there in the group there, Neil, huh? How do you know some of them got a little bit of Jew? Anyway, we're upstanding citizens, we try to be good people, and we try to portray ourselves that way. When the Nazis first applied for the stretch of highway just south of Bromley Lane in Brighton, the Colorado Department of Transportation called to say thanks, but no thanks, but the law, it turns out, was on the Nazis' side. Courts around the country have allowed white supremacists to sponsor highway signs, says Anti-Defamation League leader Bruce Dabosky. So although the Anti-Defamation League couldn't be more opposed to the Nazi movement, it advised the state to put the application through. To have our freedom, we have to have all kinds of speech, said Dabosky. This organization stands for hate. It's a white supremacist group. It's a neo-Nazi group. Blah, 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 blah. Let me explain something, because as you all know, I've made a life study of this. There's only one thing I care about, and that's Nazis. I'm kidding, of course, but I happen to know a lot about it. I just happen to know a lot about it. I know a lot about the history of the National Socialist Movement in Germany. I know a lot about the history of it here in the United States. I just know a lot about it. Now, what's happened is the following. American freedom of speech, as glorious and as sacred as it is, always seems to err on the side of the speaker. And that is probably a good thing? Well, I don't know, man. I mean, you know, we got free speech. Well, what about fire in a crowded theater? All right, we got to go to court and we got to look at that fire in a crowded theater. Okay, that causes a panic, bad. But anything short of that, free speech, we understand. And maybe that, like I said, that's good. But I'm going to tell you, and you can do whatever you want with this information. A lot of people don't care. A lot of people think it was 60 years ago. Who cares? A lot of people don't understand what World War II was. They don't even know what a Nazi looks like. They didn't even think America existed before 1960. So I understand there's all kinds of people out in the world, and everybody thinks something different. But you got to understand one thing, and you must understand this to understand this entire controversy about Nazis and the jackasses and the impotent and ignorant morons that call themselves that, because that's what they are. They're either ignorant and impotent, or they are cats playing mind games and jailhouse games with dumbasses. Dudes who've got those, you know, Napoleonic, dare I say, Hitlerian feelings about themselves. Hey, I collect a whole bunch of dumbbells, and I can be the unit leader. Oh, good for you. You can shave your head into a mohawk and march around and look like a jackass and maybe get a little bit of time on YouTube, and that's fantastic. The Nazi Party, though, you must understand, was a criminal enterprise. Do you understand what I mean by that?
Uh-uh.
All right. They did not do anything according to German law. They usurped, subverted, and circumvented the German Constitution. They didn't get rid of it. They broke every law in the book on their way to amassing power in Germany. They ruled by edict, which was illegal. They ruled by emergency law, which was technically illegal the way they did it in Germany. They set up illegal branches of the armed forces. They set up criminal organizations whose only real purpose was to terrorize, murder, threaten, and rob people. It was a criminal racket. So if you want to have a National Socialist movement in America, good. If you want to err on the side of free speech, good. But understand that when anybody calls himself a National Socialist, they're basically paying homage to a criminal racket which emerged from World War I, out of the ashes of World War I and the ashes of the Weimar Republic of Germany in the 1920s. This criminal racket, run by gangsters, co-opted an entire country, pushed the entire world into war, and at the end of it, 99% of European culture was destroyed. All by a criminal enterprise. And adjudicated as such at Nuremberg. So we can have all kinds of Nazis in America. That's great. Because I'm not gonna fight this fight. I'm not going to sit there and say, well, you know, this is bad. And, you know, I'm not going to go to the wall on this thing, because either people are motivated to understand or they're not. But anytime anybody says they're a National Socialist, anytime anybody says they're a Nazi, anytime anybody, what they're saying is, and they're probably too stupid to understand what the hell it is they're saying. I mean, I think most Nazis today are frankly too stupid to understand that the original National Socialist Movement Party of Germany was a criminal racket, a criminal enterprise engaged in criminal activity. And I'll tell you one other thing. One of the definitions of a criminal enterprise is that they are, from the very top, recognize that they are doing things illegally. That was the Nazi Party. They knew it. They weren't going to fool around with these Democrats and these parliamentarians. They weren't going to fool around with these priests and these this religious freedom stuff. They were just going to go around it, man. So, Colorado, God bless you. You want to have an adoptive state? Whatever you want to do. We want to fool around. We want to have, we think Nazis are kind of fun and cute and everything. And that's all right. You can tolerate them to a point. But don't you ever think that they are anything other than an illegitimate criminal, criminally inspired, and cannot really do anything, cannot make a move, cannot really affect any change in this country without being involved in criminal activity. Harassment. In some instances, murder and assault, robbery, blackmail, counterfeiting, you name it. Neo-Nazis have done it all because they can't do anything else. They cannot make a move legitimately or legally. They are not constructed that way. It's not what they do. They're criminals. So you go ahead and stick their name on your highway sign there, Colorado. And the Anti-Defamation League can tolerate it, and that's okay with me, man. I'm just telling you what I know. And what I know on this subject, believe me, you can take it to the bank. In fact, I'm pretty clear on a lot of stuff, aren't I, bud?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. The Lieutenant Governor of South Carolina has compared welfare recipients to stray animals who constantly breed. Now, that I can agree with. I'm joking.
Yeah, oh, right, man. That sounds nasty.
I'm joking. 877-876-PHIL. Next hour, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on that little doggy that got rescued from the flood control channel here in L.A. on Friday. We'll be right back.
The Criminal Enterprise.
The Phil Hendry Show, yes.
Phil Hendry.
Show. 877-876-PHIL. Hey, number one on Rick's list today.
I hate Jews.
So, you know, you...
adopt a highway.
Right, adopt a highway. All right, 877-876-PHIL.
Good adjustments.
I just wanted to roll that because that was from when Christian Bale went ape on the set. Remember that?
Well, yeah, he's screaming at the guy about, how come you're back in the behind me?
No, are you talking about that one guy, the lighting guy?
Yeah, when Christian Bale was going ape because that lighting guy was walking around, and the director came over and said...
Good adjustments.
After Christian Bale basically beat the living crap out of that guy and left him bloody on the deck. The guy's laying there bleeding from the mouth and from, you know, basically every hole, and the director said, you know, Christian...
Good adjustments.
Nice going. All right, I'm kidding. No, he didn't. 877-876-PHIL. So, I wanted to tell you a little bit here about this South Carolina politician. Now, here's a cat that made some comments. Now, I don't know, again, how prevalent this kind of thinking is. There are, however, instances where people will, you know, say things and you go, oh, boy, it's, and this guy's elected, or maybe he misspoke, I don't know. And sometimes they'll say, I stand by my comments. Now, when things looked their darkest for Governor Mark Sanford, when he was in danger of being impeached for running off to Argentina to see his mistress, his best insurance policy may well have been the lieutenant governor there in South Carolina, Andre Bauer. Lawmakers knew if they removed Sanford, they would end up with Bauer, a fiercely ambitious Republican with a reputation for reckless and immature behavior. Or so they say. Now Bauer has folks shaking their heads again after he likened government assistance to the poor to feeding stray animals. At a town hall meeting on Thursday, Bauer, who's running for governor in his own right now that Sanford is term limited, said, my grandmother was not a highly educated woman, but she told me as a small child to quit feeding stray animals. You know why? Because they breed. Let's listen actually to the comments so you know that I'm not lying or making them up here. This is Andre Bauer, and here he is talking at a town hall meeting where he called for major reform in how welfare is handled. South Carolina Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer.
We can't afford to keep just giving money away. My grandmother was not a highly educated woman, but she told me as a small child to quit feeding stray animals. You know why? Because they breed. You're facilitating the problem. If you give an animal or a person ample food supply, they will reproduce. Especially one that don't think too much further than that. And so what you've got to do is you've got to curtail that type of behavior. They don't know any better. I was talking to a nurse the other day, and she was in the hospital delivery room of a girl that was 10 years old delivering a baby. Can you imagine that? What chance
they're breeding
does that child have with a mother that's a baby?
All right, now we have a local reporter, Leroy Chapman, in South Carolina. He was asked on MSNBC what the reaction's been to Bauer's comments.
Well, clearly a lot of people who maybe even agree with the intent of it do not agree with equating people with animals. That certainly is the part that he wants to amend, but he's still not apologizing for the intent. So there are even people who are fellow Republicans who say that it's regrettable that he make that comment. And also, too, you got to think, this state has 12.6% unemployment. government, which is a record. So there are a lot more people who are asking for government help today than there would have been 5 years ago. So the lieutenant governor is running a little risk there because I think he may be offending more people today than he would have been when the economy's good.
Now, there's some people who are saying, what did he say that was so bad? Seriously, Phil, what did he say that was so bad? I don't quite understand. All right, I'll lay it out as clear as I can to you. If you have a problem with people being poor, if you have a problem with too many people needing government assistance, all right, you approach that problem from this standpoint. You approach the problem by saying, there are people who have obviously fallen through the cracks, as they say, or have fallen below the safety net, or, you know, these are people that are going to be living in the street. They're going to be hungry. There's going to be children at risk. They're going to not have clothing. They won't have heating. And we don't any longer just stare at that and go our merry way. There was a time when we did. There was a time in this world where we would look at someone starving or hungry. If it bothered us, we'd throw them into some kind of a prison. We'd throw them into some sort of a workhouse. We'd, you know, like in what the hell was the name of that thing?
Yeah, Oliver Swift.
Yeah, Oliver Swift.
Who's Oliver Swift? Oh, Christmas Carol, that was it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oliver Swift. Anyway, in Christmas Carol. Today, however, we look at this problem. We realize it's not solved by a workhouse or a poorhouse or anything else. Some people want to radicalize the whole solution by saying it's too much of a hassle to look at this thing as a generational problem, shall we say. It's too much of a hassle to look at this thing as a life condition thing. Let's just damn well get rid of them all. You know, let's abort the babies. Let's kill them. So, I mean, that's really a radical approach. I'm not saying it's advocated by that many people. That's one way of looking at it. Others will say that if you give them enough to eat and a place to live and a place to work and if we can get them a leg up in the system, that from that come some pretty remarkable people. From that may come a generation of people that are elevated higher than what they came from, and so on it goes down the generational line until finally we've sort of moved an entire group of people out of this impoverished circumstance. But this guy, Bauer, looks at it completely differently. He looks at it as simply a numbers game, and if you can eliminate the numbers, then you eliminate the problem. They're breeding, and there's too many of them. And if we can keep them from breeding, we keep them from, you know. So let's not give them assistance. By giving them assistance, by giving them food, it helps them breed. In essence, what he's saying is you have to cut down the numbers of these people in order to solve the problem. And the way to cut down on their numbers is for them not to have as many babies. And the way to not have as many babies is simply don't give them any assistance. Well, what he's basically saying there is, I suppose, the first solution we were talking about, kill them. I mean, that's what he's saying, right? They breed. Now, you know, some people get around that, but, you know, the real simple answer is stray animal, and that really shocks the hell out of everybody. But it's more than that. He's talking about human beings with a serious life condition, economic, socioeconomic problem, and the way to solve the problem is don't give them any food or assistance or help because it'll just allow them to breed. So if you keep that assistance from them, they won't breed. They won't have babies. Maybe they'll croak. So he's not a very bright guy. But you know what the real point of this is? Somebody elected this jackass, didn't they? Somebody elected this jackass. Somebody elected these guys in Congress. Somebody elected these guys in the Senate. Somebody elected Barack Obama. Every time we got a problem with an elected official, guess where, you know, you can point the finger, man? Right back square at us. We're the ones that put these guys where they are. And don't give me this bull crap about how, well, I didn't. There isn't anybody listening to me right now that didn't have a hand in putting some dumbass into an elected office at some point in their life. Not a one. So this guy is the lieutenant governor of the state of South Carolina, and he is running for governor. Now, and if he gets elected, even after saying something as barefaced dumb as this, then, you know, you only got yourselves to blame. I mean, I guess you deserve everything you get, you know. So that, I hope I've explained that one.
So he wants them, he don't want them to breed.
He doesn't want them to breed, exactly, man. If they breed, then they make more babies that are going to be on welfare. If you don't give them any assistance, then they won't breed. They'll just croak. They'll starve to death, something. All right, dictionaries get banned in classrooms in Southern California. We'll tell you why Obama gives drastically different stats on how the stimulus package helped create jobs. Either Obama advisors did. There you go. You're really being helped by those people around you, Mr. President. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Next hour is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on a story. We're actually going to get to it right here. It has to do with a dog that was pulled from a flood control channel in Southern California on Friday. And it's not really a local story because it did make a lot of news. What are you doing over there, Robert?
I'm doing my taxes, man. I got TurboTax.
TurboTax? What is that? TurboTax, the one from Intuit, huh?
Yeah, the sponsor of ours. And they helped me get a great return at the end of the year, so I'm doing TurboTax.
Well, what is that?
Yeah, what is it?
Software, man. Software for the computer.
Yeah, I'll bet it's software.
What's that supposed to mean?
Oh, shut up.
What's that supposed to mean?
I bet it's software. Do it.
Get off of him, will you? He's screwing around. All right. TurboTax, huh?
Yeah, for all your tax, return need, everything. Even a dumbass like me.
Yeah, I'll bet it's software.
Get, will you knock it with the line, man? We got your software line already, okay? Good going, Robert. 877-876-PHIL. So, saving a German Shepherd stuck in the rising Los Angeles River was the right thing to do. The risks were slight. Rescue crews were on standby. Extra taxpayer money wasn't used, and the alternatives were unacceptable, said authorities today. The helicopter and swift water rescue crew members that saved the dog on Friday had been hailed as heroes, feted on television and radio, and congratulated on the web and in print. But, get a load of this. Because some people haven't got a life, and I'm telling you it's true, because they haven't got a life and they're looking to draw some attention to their silly little blogs, they have vilified some of the firefighters on social network sites and story comment sections by people saying the fire department shouldn't have risked a firefighter's life just to save a dog. Well, maybe that's the case, but you ain't never going to make that argument, man. People will risk their lives for their dogs and their cats because we've been living with them as domesticated creatures for thousands of years. Steve Ruta, who is a spokesperson for the L.A. Fire Department, said, you're not going to please everybody. There's always 10% a group of a-holes. No, he didn't say that. He said, there's always 10%. They either don't like animals or they think we're wasting taxpayer money. They're going to come up with some baloney excuse, right? Now, what are you going to say? They didn't waste any taxpayer money. Rescue crews were on standby. The risks were slight. Blah, 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 blah. But still somebody, you know, blogging, well, it could have happened. Yeah, it could have happened. You know the thing that could happen and we wish would happen? That your mother's basement would blow up with you in it. How about that?
Yeah, he's talking about you, man.
No, he's not.
All right, now listen. The dog, nicknamed Vernon after the city where he was rescued, remained in quarantine at the Southeast Area Animal Control Authority shelter in Downey, so I guess nobody's claimed the animal. Joe St. George, who was 50 years of age, the 25-year firefighting veteran who hoisted Vernon to safety, lost a fingernail and fractured a thumb when the dog bit him during the rescue. St. George just needs time to heal, and he'll be back at work, Ruta said. He's anxious to get back to work to be with his crew. The dog, which appears to be almost 4 years old and weighed about 65 pounds, was eating everything given to him, sleeping well and showing no signs of rabies, according to Captain Aaron Reyes, director of operations for the Southern California Animal Control. If no owner shows up, we do have a mile-long list of people who want him, I'll bet. Now, on several internet sites with comments about the rescue, the only people who left their names were those who supported the effort. The ones who did not support the effort were anonymous, and maybe they thought someone would track them down and kick their ass, which could have been the case. I don't know. You know, there's some things you got to do. For instance, if they didn't save that dog, they would have burned a fire station down. I shouldn't say. I don't know what would have happened, but it would have been worse. Guaranteed, it would have been worse. I was walking into a restaurant on Friday morning to have breakfast, and I looked up, and everybody in the joint was focused on the TV set, and they had this rescue on, Bud.
Yeah, I was over there sitting down, his hat, going to get a flapjack.
Yeah, and I seen it, too.
What, were you with him?
No, I was at a different restaurant, but I was getting a flapjack, too.
So the two of you were at two different restaurants getting flapjacks?
Yeah.
Anyway, so everybody was glued to the TV set watching this. And the first thing, of course, you say is, geez, I hope they get this poor dog. You know, what the hell's going to go on? Now, I remember it was maybe going on 10 years ago. This was brutal, absolutely brutal. There was a kid who, during one of these vicious winter storms we had here in Southern California, probably back, I want to say around 97, 98, we had a brutal storm and a really brutal winter. This kid had been swept down, I think, the L.A. River, and he was moving at a pretty good clip. He was not holding on to anything. He was in the current, and he was in trouble. At every overpass, at every walking overpass, any place where they could, they were trying to toss him ropes. They were trying to pull nets across the length of the river to kind of slow him up. They were trying to throw him lifesavers, anything that they could. They made a huge, huge effort to save this boy's life, and they failed. This young man was found at the end of the river. He was drowned. This dog, on the other hand, for whatever reason, had found some shallow water and was standing and had his paws up on this sloped concrete embankment, and the animal was not even in the full force or current of the river. He was standing away from it. So it was a different thing entirely. Anytime you see anybody in one of those rivers here in Southern California, one of those, what we used to call as kids, the wash, but they're flood control channels or concrete flood control channels. Some of them are rivers. Anybody that falls into that, anyone that's caught up in that current, man, you're automatically just compelled by the story because it is often fatal. If you get into that raging water that is being carried down to the ocean, you're going to drown, man. You're going to drown unless somebody can get a lifeline to you. That's what happened to that young man, and I'll never forget that story as long as I live. I'll never forget seeing that kid going down that channel, and nobody could get to him, and everybody was trying. So here's a dog that gets plucked out of the water, and you say to yourself, I feel pretty good about that one. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's a dog. You're right. But God Almighty, at least somebody got saved somewhere along the line here. Now, about an eighth of a mile downstream from the rescue site, the water was much deeper and the current much faster. The dog would have drifted on down and died, according to firefighters. Do you just wait at the mouth of the river and wait for the carcass, according to Reyes? Any way you slice it, it's unacceptable. You would not have been able to live that down. They made a decision, and we support that decision. He's right. If that dog had not been saved, there would have been people screaming. Firefighters on the ground said a crew could get the dog, and a helicopter pilot who had been standing by just 45 seconds away from the river reported he could clear high tension lines in the area. Swift water teams were on standby because of week-long storms. Although as many as 50 firefighters were at the river, no firefighter was called in on overtime. So they've got to make the argument, it's cost-effective, nobody was at risk, everything's good, it's all cool, we didn't waste your tax dollars, okay? And of course, Steve Root of the L.A. Fire Department said, all life is important. Well, Steve, that's a nice sentiment, but that's not going to pay the bills at the end of the day. What paid the bills at the end of the day, really, is that most people can see, you know, it's a dog, and that's man's best friend. Go save him. Nobody gives a crap. You want my honest opinion? I wouldn't have given a sweet crap if it would have cost more money. I don't care. I'm getting so sick and tired of listening to people squealing about money. Let me tell you something about money. If everybody's so broke, man, they haven't got a problem selling out the Super Bowl, do they? Hey-hey! If everybody is so broke, they sure as hell haven't got a problem selling out the worst movies, the cheapest crap, the worst entertainment you can possibly imagine. They are filling the theaters with everybody's asses in a seat, making mounds of dough for Hollywood. I don't know what kind of a recession they're in. There's all kinds of businesses. There's all kinds of industry and life in America that's making all kinds of money. So don't tell me about how we're broke. You know, this becomes something that people just like to repeat. We're broke, we're broke, we're broke, we're broke. We haven't got any money, haven't got any money, haven't got any money. In this country, suffering is worrying about whether you can pay a mortgage. Now, there was a time where suffering was living in a tent. There was a time where recession and depression was carrying a bucket of water up from a river. Today, what is recession and depression? It's turning on a lamp in the middle of the night and lighting a cigarette because you're worried about making a bill. You ain't even been given the late notice yet. You haven't even been told that you're 60 days overdue yet. That's what we call suffering. So give it a rest, man. And the other thing, this stuff about how much does it cost? After a while, you start to sound like a real cheap creep. I mean, you start to sound like everything is nothing but, you know, everything is nothing but dollars and cents. Everything has to do with money. How much is it going to cost? How much does the war cost? How much is this going to cost? By God, if we ever got invaded, seriously, which, you know, I don't know. But if we ever got invaded, if we ever had literally the life of this country at risk, some jackass somewhere would ask how much is going to cost for us to defend the country, right? All right. 877-876-PHIL. So we got Jay Santos coming up in a few minutes here at a world-famous Phil Hendry show. And more news for you, including the origins of that men sent home comment. And Obama's going to be addressing the nation. Is that tomorrow?
Yeah, he's going to give a speech and everything.
Yeah. It's called the State of the Union, man, and they do it all the time.
What?
They do it all the time. It's in the Constitution. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Hendry show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
You know, we have a problem. We don't have problems where we think we have problems. We don't really have problems where we think we have problems. We think we have problems. I hear people making these large, these dramatic, sweeping statements, you know. The country's in trouble. Oh, the hell, the country's in trouble. You know, the country's really in trouble. The country ain't in any trouble. The only trouble we got, man, is you. How about you put your ass on a boat and split?
What do you mean? How dare you? My family is thousands of years here in the...
Really? It's thousands of years. You got that Cheddar Man thing going, huh? Your DNA going all the way back to some cat with a monkey head or something?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Thousands of years. Country's going to do fine, you know. But the problems that we have are the ones we don't automatically see. They're, you know, until it's too late or until it just smacks us across the face, you know. Like this Haiti rescue thing. The problem is this. We got a fundraising disease going on. You know, we have a let's get money and let's help the poor people disease. This is a disease not because we're not raising money. We're raising money. We're raising a lot of money. But there's a divide, a chasm. There's a canyon between the well-meaning efforts at fundraising and the reality, as they say these days, on the ground, where that money is supposed to go. The reality on the ground in Haiti is brutal, violent, requires weapons and soldiers and crowd control, and it requires a fair amount of ass-kicking and a fair amount of mandating and direction, and no arguments. This is how it's got to be. Now, today, in Port-au-Prince, they set fire to a pile of bodies. The stench, I understand. The disease, I certainly understand. Now, you know that there are people in Haiti, and we saw this the first few days. I saw it all over the news. People saying they're looking for their relatives. They're trying to identify people. They have no apparatus set up in that country to identify anybody, man. They couldn't figure out the seven dwarfs. if they were walking through town? How are they going to figure out where a missing person is? They could care less where the missing people are in Haiti. They're putting them in ditches. They're setting fire to the bodies. That's the end of that. Now, that's the way it's going in Haiti. Now, so the people in Haiti who are missing mothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, you're flat out of luck, Jack. As far as we know, they're on that funeral pyre over there. You'll never find them, ever. Okay? Is that acceptable? I don't know. If you're going to blame the United States, there's one very good solution. Just bring in more troops and start to put a little bit of crowd control on this thing. A little bit of crowd control. Start putting a whole lot of crowd control. At some point, that country either turns over the security of that country and the security of the rescue effort to the United States, or it doesn't. The United Nations isn't doing it. The United Nations, those guys aren't good for anything. They're not good enough to blow up a paper bag full of air and pop it, let alone pass out food. First of all, the UN, as you and I both know, and we've learned this the hard way, is corrupt. They're lying, thieving with their blue helmets, walking around, man. I wouldn't trust a one of them. I see a blue helmet, man, I run the other way. You know, I don't even care if it isn't on a UN guy, you know. Anything wearing blue.
Like, what about a Dodger?
I'd run, yeah, even a Dodger. I don't trust anything wearing. So those guys are thieving, lying mothers, you know. So you got to get in somebody with some credibility and some people with a little bit of morality. And believe it or not, this may come as a huge shock. That leaves us. And start getting the food and the equipment and all the things that are needed to the people. Burning bodies, stacks of bodies. They had a pile of bodies they set fire to today because they couldn't take the smell and they were afraid of disease. All of these are very legitimate concerns. Now, I don't mind listening to Alicia Keys singing a nice song, and I think that hearing, what the hell's that band? That freaking, I can't stand them.
Coldplay.
I mean, great. So, you know, and George Clooney gives a pitch. All of that stuff is great, man. I can call up and give money until I'm broke, till I got no more money left. I don't see anything getting better down there. All I'm hearing all is this bull crap about how they need this, they need that, they need this, they need that. And how do we move forward? And what are we going to do? And this is something we're going to see again and again and again and again. And I say the next time this happens, before we give nickel one, we want to figure out who it is we're giving it to and how it's going to get to people and what the hell it is they're doing. And thank you very much and good night. Other than that, man, I don't want to hear about it because I'm... you know, really, really, like it's like I said, it's a disease, okay? And like the guy said the other day, you know, I'd much rather that money be going to someplace here in the United States than to Haiti, where I don't know where it's going. I don't know how it's getting to anybody. All I'm looking at is day after day after day, there's a woman sitting there with a baby in her arms and there's a fly buzzing around the kid, okay? That's the standard, you know. And they're saying there's no water, and there's no this, and there's no that, and there's no this, and there's no that, man. I just looked, and I saw they were raising millions, and Larry King just told me he raised $10 million. What do you think that's going to buy? It's going to buy a hell of a lot of milk, man. But there's still flies buzzing around a kid's head down there.
There are a lot of flies down there, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Bug spray.
What do you mean, bug spray?
Well.
All right, now, Hope for Haiti has raised $61 million. $61 million they raised on that thing Friday night. That's a lot of bread. Now, you can get down there with $61 million, for God's sake, and get down there and get a whole lot of powdered milk and whatever the hell else it is you need to get. And don't tell me it costs that much. I'll tell you what it costs. It costs paying off those slobs you got to pay off down there. It costs paying off those, whatever, gangs, government officials, maybe even the Haitian military, the Haitian police. Those guys are about as crooked as the day is long, and they know it, and they know what I'm saying is true. I think, before we get involved with any of these people, either you do it right or you don't do it at all. I'm not going to give you nickel one, man. And then you can say that America is the big Satan and we're cheap and we're, you know, we're trying to, it's genocide and all that other crap. You know what genocide is? Genocide is telling me to donate, and I do, and we raise $61 million, $100 million, $150 million, and it still doesn't get to the people. Now, that's genocide. That's what I call genocide, and it's being enabled by the jackasses that are asking me for money, but don't exactly know what they're going to do with it when they get it. Because I don't care if you're talking about the United Nations or the whatever organization. It's got to get through the firewall of jackasses that they have in Haiti, whoever they are, to get to the people. And George Clooney knows that. Everybody knows that. So how are you going to do that? Are you doing it? Oh, Phil, you know, oh, my ass, man. You're telling me $150 million and I'm still looking on TV with people need this and that. There's no milk and the water is spoiled and they can't eat and they have nowhere to live and there's no tents and the people are laying out in the sun and it's day in and day out and day in and day out and I don't see any relief in sight for these people. And all I'm told is, boy, we need medical equipment and we need this and we need that. You need, man. People are given hand over fist. Somebody is either stealing this stuff or requiring a very, very big fee to allow that crap to get from the airport to the people. Either way, I'm done, man.
You're not going to give any more money, huh?
I haven't given any in the first place, but let's just say that I did. I'm done.
Oh, okay.
All right. 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police as we talk about the Los Angeles Fire Department saving that dog that really prompted quite a bit of controversy on Friday, the saving of this dog there in the flood control channel of the Los Angeles River. 877-876-PHIL and twitter.com/PhilHendryShow.
Phil Hendry.